The text is Romans 8, 9 to 11, and this is my own translation. But you are not in flesh, but on the absolute contrary, in spirit, since Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have Spirit of Christ, this one not is of him. But since Christ is in you, on the one hand, the body dead because of sin, but on the other hand, spirit, life because of righteousness. But since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ out of the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ out of the dead will also make alive the mortal bodies of you through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. Everything's coming up roses. That's a saying meaning everything is going fine, better than expected. As near as I can tell, it comes from a 1959 musical. Though one version of the song makes Rose a name and apostrophizes it so that in a divorce, everything comes up belonging to Rose. Pentecost, though, is a marriage of sorts between us and the Spirit, and everything does come up roses. For confessional Lutherans, the Holy Spirit is like the confessional. Now, Lutherans don't have actual confessional boxes like Catholics do. However, we do have the same seal of the confessional, meaning whatever is confessed to a pastor can never be revealed to another. On Catholic confessional booths, a rose is often carved above it to symbolize the secrecy of the confession. The rose as a symbol of secrecy goes back to the Greek myth where the god of silence gives Cupid a rose to guard the secrets of Aphrodite. The word sub rosa is used to mean secretive, private, but it literally means under the rose. For confessional Lutherans, the Holy Spirit is sub rosa. We don't talk much about having the Spirit, being moved by the Spirit, Spirit-led. Among Missouri Synod churches, Holy Spirit is not one of the top 12 names. Keeping the Spirit sub rosa, though, is biblical. He has been called the shy member of the Holy Trinity. And then that's based on Jesus' words in John 16. There he says that the Spirit doesn't speak on his own, but speaks what he hears from the Father, and he takes from what belongs to Jesus and discloses it to us. Luther compared the Holy Spirit to a poor lute player who only knows how to play one song, and that song is Jesus. With the Spirit, everything comes up sub rosa for confessional Lutherans. So imagine my surprise when about 15 years into my ministry, I began regularly praying a pastor's prayer in the 1941 agenda. I found myself asking Jesus to send down thy Holy Spirit to cleanse my lips so that I may be bold to preach thy word in all its fullness, and praying, let thy Holy Spirit direct me that I may always speak the things which become sound doctrine. Though we don't talk much about the Spirit, boy howdy do we need him. Without the Spirit, nothing comes up roses, but only thorns. Without the Spirit, far beneath the bitter sorrows of sin, death, devil, buried underneath the winter of our discontent and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that is death, lies buried not the seed of a rose, but a thorn. Without the Spirit of Christ, nothing of Christ can grow. Paul emphatically states, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this one is not of Christ. But Paul says more than this. Without the Spirit of God living in you, you are controlled by the sinful nature. Now that's how the NIV puts it, but it's really more, it's starker than that. It's an either-or matter. It's either flesh or spirit. If you are in flesh, your body is dead because of sin, and so is your spirit, because you lack the righteousness that comes from the Spirit of Christ. Without the Spirit, not one of us sees what's really going on. Without the Spirit, we think everyone with a heartbeat or possibly brain waves is alive and will only one day die. And even when their heart stops beating or their brain stops waving, they go on living in some better place. Everything comes up roses for everyone. If there is a hell, well, it's here on earth. That's what Marty Robbins sang in 1970. God should give his wife that mansion up yonder because she's been through hell here on earth. The reality that the Spirit shows us in Holy Scripture is that without the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, fallen men are at worst the walking dead, and at best they're like an animal shot through the heart that runs on and doesn't even know that it's dead. Only the Spirit can wake a person up to the fact that he's deluding himself like Miss Havisham in Great Expectations. Jilted at the altar, she wears the rotting wedding dress the rest of her life, sitting in a cobweb-filled room with a moldering wedding cake and blackened, dead, decomposed roses. Miss Havisham is apparently oblivious to the fact that she is living death. Furthermore, only the Spirit can wake us to the fact that even when life is going good, life is successful, fun, exciting, we're still deluding ourselves if we're thinking that life doesn't get any better than this, that this is really living, that now I'm really alive. Not apart from the Spirit you are. You think you have grabbed life by the roses when in reality, all you got are the thorns. Everything comes up roses only by the Spirit, and thanks be to God, the Son pours out the Spirit like so many rose petals. In Italy, the day of Pentecost is called Pasca Rosa because the vestments worn by the clergy are red that day. In other parts of Italy, Pentecost is called Pasca Rosera because rose petals are scattered from the ceiling to commemorate the miracle of the tongues of fire on Pentecost. Now that little act of liturgical drama has always appealed to me. The sight and smell of hundreds and hundreds of rose petals falling down on the congregation would drive home the gift, the grace, the beauty of the Spirit poured out by Christ on Pentecost. Christ had the Holy Spirit in his mortal body. As true God, of course, he always had the Spirit. But at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on his mortal body for all to see in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit does not remain where sin rules. So when Adam and Eve gave in to the spirit of misbelief, unbelief, and other great shame and vice, the Spirit left them. The Spirit would have done the same thing to Jesus if he had ever sinned. You know how skittish dove are? They flutter away at the slightest gesture, even a look in their direction, and they fly. So the dove of the Spirit would have left the man Jesus had he ever did one of the sins that you did this past week. Had he said one of the profanities you did yesterday, or had just one of the vile thoughts you had today. But Jesus did not sin in thought, in word, or deed, and so the Spirit remained. But still, you and I, sinners all, had no right to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, of hope, of peace. In our life, everything could only come up thorns, not roses. That's why Jesus went to the cross as a guilty, damned sinner. God no longer looked at him as his only beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. No, he didn't look at him at all. As they beat him, as they slapped him, as they whipped him, as they nailed him to the cross. No, he forsook him to leave him on the cross for an eternity in hell. This was the price that had to be paid in order for the Holy Spirit to be given to sinners. And God the Father testified that that price had been paid in full by raising Jesus from the dead. Sins were all paid for, His anger against sinners appeased. God was reconciled to sinners. Still, everything couldn't come up roses until God the Son reascended to his native heaven. And where God the Son goes, so goes the Son of Mary, who has the Spirit without measure in his mortal body and had now won the right to pour out that Spirit upon all flesh. He did that directly upon his assembled church on the first Pentecost, and they poured the Spirit out on the whole world through preaching the mighty acts God had done in the person of Christ, by baptizing in Jesus' name, and by celebrating the meal of his body and blood. See the Holy Spirit showering down upon you through the means of grace as so many sweet-smelling and brightly colored rose petals. Pentecost is to fill us with childlike wonder at this great gift. Years ago, I happened to be in the country at a church barbecue when the first real rain came after that long, long drought. There were kids there, 18 to 24 months old, who had never, ever been out in the rain before. They stepped out from under the shelter and turned their faces upward in surprise. What is this? Falling from the sky. What a wonder. What a delight. What a miracle. Adults dismiss rain as natural. It's not. It's a gift of God. And so is the poured out Spirit. Read the scriptures. Everywhere that man's possibility, strength, and wisdom are at an end, we find the presence and working of the Spirit. The Spirit comes upon Samson to give him superhuman strength. The Spirit comes upon David to enable him to rule. When the Old Testament church is faced with the task of rebuilding, they are told that it is not going to be by their might or by their power, but by God's Spirit. The Spirit is called the promise, the pledge, and literally the arabon of God. Now that word is variously translated as the earnest, the first fruit, the down payment, the guarantee, the pledge, the signet, the deposit. An arabon is something tangible, something touchable, something real that guarantees the fullness to come. The point being, it's not a mere verbal promise. It's real cash. It's not a feeling from inside, but a thing from outside. The arabon is not the flashlight which a traveler in the dark carries in his hand. No, it's the glow on his face which reflects the rising sun. With the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, everything comes up roses because the Spirit brings the sweet odor of Christ's atonement for the sins of the world, which satisfies the wrath of God. The Spirit preached into our ears. The Spirit poured on our bodies. The Spirit eaten and drank by mouth pledges to us, promises us, guarantees us we will make it all the way back to the garden where no more do sin and sorrows grow or thorns infest the ground, but everything comes up roses. So how do you know where the roses are? Follow your nose. The smell of a body washed by water in baptism, the scent of Easter lilies that is absolution breathed out by Christ on Easter evening, and the sweets and the whiff of sweet communion wine that is Jesus' blood all beckon you to where the Spirit is for you. In these things, the Spirit you're about to pray God for to create a clean heart in you, to renew a right spirit within you, to take not away from you, to uphold you with, is here for you every Sunday. You see, while we sing in a hymn that we ought not to expect to be taken to heaven on flowery beds of ease, we can also sing that he has promised us a rose garden. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.